Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Today we are going to be focusing on the news of the past week from Santan and Queen Creek. So if you're ready, let's get going. Our first article is entitled, Honor Health Feeds Bodies, Not Just Heals Them. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune August 6, 2025 and updated August 11, 2025. It is written by Cecilia Chan. Honor Health isn't just doling out medical care, it's also handing out food to those facing hunger crises. The local nonprofit healthcare organization with hospitals in Mesa, Scottsdale, and Tempe is on pace to surpass last year's numbers, serving over 300 households a day with 5,000 households already served this year, a full 30 days ahead of last year's record pace. People are coming from all over the state to seek help, spokesman Bill Baer said. We have seen an increase in numbers due to multiple reasons. The economy and social benefits decreasing, such as food stamps and Medicaid. Honor Health recognizes that our patients are just one part of the community we serve. By addressing barriers like food insecurity, we help prevent chronic disease and improve overall well-being. Providing food isn't just about meals. It's about building stronger, healthier communities for everyone. In 2024, Honor Health's Desert Mission Food Distribution Center, 9229 North 4th Street in Phoenix, served 57,648 households. For 2025, so far, we have served 29,378, Baer said. If we continue to serve the average of a 15% increase in households from last year, we could easily see 66,000 households. The number of Mesa households seeking food boxes also has increased over the years. In 2023, there were 102 households, which increased to 157 in 2024. Through June 30th this year, 125 households from Mesa have been helped. Overall, the remaining East Valley communities, including Chandler, Gilbert, Queen Creek, and Santan Valley, saw 169 households come to the pantry from January 1st to June 30th, according to the hospital. In 2023, there were 147 households receiving food, and in last year, 199 households were helped. Now, Honor Health is looking for help. Volunteers to help out in the pantry. With many student volunteers returning to school and snowbirds yet to return, the food bank is facing a critical volunteer shortage, Baer said. This is a great opportunity for individuals, businesses, and community groups to step up. Volunteering here is more than sorting food. It's a hands-on way to fight hunger and give back in a deeply meaningful way. The food bank has a dedicated core of 108 volunteers as of the end of 2024 who run the front market. Baer said, adding that other volunteer groups help with the production, project-oriented side of the pantry. Based on the growing need, having at least 10-plus volunteers per shift is critical for operations, Baer said. Due to availability, especially in our summer hours when snowbirds leave us, we sometimes have as low as 3 volunteers per shift. It varies each day. We need a minimum of 1 volunteer group per day. Some days we need 2 volunteer groups. We have both morning and afternoon shift options and can accommodate groups up to 25 volunteers at one time. Volunteer activities range depending on the need for that day, but it may include bagging or sorting food, making snack packs for grade school children, assembling food boxes for community nutrition programs, filling grocery carts in the market for food bank guests, and working on special projects, such as assembling hygiene kits, according to Baer. The pantry stocks its shelves with food from St. Mary Food Bank, which can include rice, pinto beans, canned salmon, macaroni and cheese, milk, applesauce, quick oats, and peanut butter. Desert Mission's offerings include the Emergency Food Assistance Program for individuals and families, the Senior Food Box Program, the Infant Emergency Food Box Program, and the Snack Pack Program, working with local schools to provide weekly bags of nutritious, kid-friendly food for school-aged children to ensure they have enough to eat over the weekend. It also provides the nutrition education program, educating people on how to make healthy eating a tasty and affordable reality. Both the Senior Food Box Program and the Emergency Food Box Program have income guidelines set forth by the Department of Economic Services, according to Bayer. For the Senior Food Program specifically, it is essential that 130% of the federal poverty level by household size, and the Emergency Food Box Program is 185% of the federal poverty level by household size. The cap for Desert Mission Food Bank is currently 2 visits per month, Bear added. A family can use those visits at their discretion of how often. They just can't do 2 in the same day. Desert Mission has been handing out food to the community since it was incorporated in 1927. Although uncommon, they are becoming more prevalent in recognition of the link between nutrition and health outcomes. Hospitals have either an on-site pantry or partner with a community food pantry. For instance, Boston Medical Center in Massachusetts has preventative food pantry created in 2001. It works to address nutrition-related illness and undernutrition of its low-income patients by filling BMC doctors' quote, prescriptions, end quote, for supplemental foods that promote physical health, prevent future illness, and facilitate recovery, according to its website. And Loretto Hospital in Chicago has a community cupboard which provides free, non-perishable food to hospital staff, patients, and the community, 24 hours a day. As the community services arm of Honor Health, Desert Mission addresses the social determinants of health through programs that serve individuals from infancy through seniorhood, Bear said. Our work extends for beyond medical treatment because true health starts with access to basic needs like nutritious food. That's why we operate a food bank, along with adult day health care, early care and education, resource navigation, and community nutrition programs that meet people where they are. Can you help? Honor Health Desert Mission needs volunteers for its food pantry at 9229 North 4th Street in Phoenix. Both individual and group volunteers are needed on a daily, recurring basis, Monday through Friday. Volunteers must be at least 16 years old. Kids 14 and 15 may volunteer. For more information, you may go to desertmission.com/volunteer. End of story. Our next article is entitled Founders Day Wristband Presale Starts Next Week. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent August 13, 2025. No author is listed. Queen Creek's annual Founders Day celebration is just a little more than 1 month away, and residents can soon start buying wristbands to the event at early bird prices. Beginning Monday, August 18th, wristbands will be available at the pre-sale price of $12.50 per person through Friday, September 12th. Founders Day runs from 5 to 9 p.m. Saturday, September 20th at its new location in Frontier Family Park, 20039 South 220th Street. Wristbands cost $15 on the day of the event. The wristbands are all-inclusive, with access to participant relays, the Nerf Battle Zone, silent disco, and axe throwing. Pre-sale wristbands will be available for purchase in person at Recreation Annex, 21802 South Ellsworth Road, and the Recreation and Aquatic Center, 22343 East Ryan Road, or online. Wristbands will be available for pickup from noon Monday, September 15th to 4 p.m. Friday, September 19th at the Recreation and Aquatic Center. They may also be picked up at the ticket booth on the day of the event. To learn more about this year's Founders Day, visit www.queencreekaz.gov/Founders Day. End of story. Our next article is entitled New Homes on Sale in Santan Valley. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent August 15th, 2025, and no author is listed. David Weekly Homes is now selling homes in two new sections of the Santan Valley community of Soleo. In Alston at Soleo, buyers will be able to select from 6, 1, and 2-story floor plans on 60-foot home sites, according to a press release. In Tambor at Soleo, home buyers will have the option to choose from 5 single-story floor plans on 70-foot home sites that feature RV garages. David Weekly Homes is also selling new homes in 2 additional sections of the community, Artesia at Soleo and Tavolo at Soleo. The builder has also broken ground on 6 new model homes throughout the 4 sections of Soleo. 2 model homes will soon open in Artesia at Soleo, featuring 7 floor plans and 48-foot home sites. 2 more model homes are being built in Tambor at Soleo. Tavolo at Soleo, featuring 8 floor plans and 55-foot home sites, and Alston at Soleo will soon have 1 model home each. Residents in Soleo will have access to community amenities, including a park, sports fields, zip lines, climbing wall, fitness loops, trails, and pocket parks, the release continued. The community also features a 2-acre lake with a dock, an open-air pavilion, event lawns, and fire pits. Additionally, residents will have easy access to State Route 24. Students within the community will attend J.O. Combs Unified School District Schools. For more information about David Weekly Homes in Soleo, contact 480-516-0470. End of story. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today we are focusing on the news of the past week for Santan and Queen Creek. My name is Leslie Hunt, your volunteer reader. Continuing on, our next article is entitled Gallego Takes Few Questions at East Valley Luncheon. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent, August 13, 2025, and written by Jason W. Brooks. Arizona's junior U.S. Senator didn't take many questions on August 12th event in Chandler, but he managed to cover much ground in his responses. Senator Ruben Gallego took questions from Salt River Project lobbyist Alan Eder and one from the audience at the, quote, Federal Focus with Senator Gallego, end quote, luncheon, hosted by the Queen Creek, Gilbert, and Chandler Chambers of Commerce and held at Chandler-Gilbert Community College's Pecos campus. One of the topics Gallego touched on was the, quote, brain drain, end quote, and what he said is a decline of interest in foreign students, researchers, and business leaders getting educated or doing work in the U.S. due to recent decisions. I'd like to expand these opportunities, but right now we're actually going backwards, Gallego said. We've always been the place the best and the brightest want to come to. That has changed. Our other countries see this. The president of France, Emmanuel Macron, is literally handing out their version of a green card to any U.S. researcher who's getting their visa rejected by the U.S. government. Gallego said that while the U.S. system is deeply flawed and needs major reforms, it's one that should be modified in ways that allow more students and workers into the United States and with an efficient path to citizenship, not fewer. While both Gallego and the speaker who introduced Gallego and Eder Jennings Immel, Vice President of the Western Region for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, both acknowledged major immigration reform probably isn't imminent. There are areas where Gallego believes bipartisan legislation can still be passed and signed by President Trump within the next 2 years. Gallego said one of these areas is housing reform. He said Democrats and Republicans agree there's a housing crunch and Congress can take action to change the supply for the demand. In responding to the only question taken from the audience rather than from Eder, the moderator, Gallego, said it's important to have incentives for investment by banks and first-time buyers. Gallego, 45, a military veteran, said he was able to buy his first home at the age of 26. The average age of a first-time U.S. homebuyer in 2025 is now 38, according to a study by John Burns Research and Consulting. We have a massive generational gap where people who've never owned a home are not going to get one in any time soon, he said. We need to bring more housing online, loosen regulations, and incentivize the investment. Emel, in his 10-minute introduction, covered the Big One Big Beautiful Bill Act, highlighting what he said are its positive provisions for businesses. He referred to President Trump's overall tariff approach as the, quote, biggest tax increase on Americans in 50 years, end quote, and said the U.S. chamber will continue to push for exemptions and exceptions and for more action on an overall manufacturing expansion strategy. Gallego said he also wants to reform the Pell Grant system and federal student finance in general, mainly to expand it to cover more types of trade certificate and degree programs at more types of trade-specific schools. He says he believes water allocation and regulation reform is going to be much rougher in negotiations between Arizona officials than in facing off against other states or the federal government. Once Arizona's Colorado River cuts are more concrete, that's when the tough work begins. Gallego said part of the problem with groundwater is even knowing how much groundwater is beneath the surface overall. Accepting our river cuts is one thing, but then we have to start talking among ourselves, Gallego said. What does that look like? Does Maricopa County give up a certain amount of water? Does Yuma do the same, or more, or less? Do we have, really, the governance for that right now? Right now, if you want to build outside Maricopa or Pima counties, you put a straw in the ground and start pumping water. End of story. We invite our readers to submit their civil comments on this topic. Email azopinions@iniusa.org. Or you can email Jason W. Brooks at jbrooks@iniusa.org. Our next article is entitled Queen Creek Unified Takes Next Step on Building Plans. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune August 18, 2025, and written by Samantha Ray. Anticipating exponential growth in the next 6 years, Queen Creek Unified School District Administration is requesting state funding for four major construction projects in its fiscal year 2026 capital plan. The district is requesting two new elementary schools and additions to Chrisman Junior High and Chrisman High School, with projected completions between 2027 and 2031. The governing board earlier this month approved the plan to be sent to the School Facilities Division for review. The elementary schools set to open before 2029 will each serve 750 K-6 students. The two additions will comprise academic spaces at the two Chrisman schools, as those facilities are unfinished. Each addition will hold space for 500 students. Both additions are projected to open by 2031. District capital plans are due by September 1st. The School Facilities Division oversees the capital needs of K-12 school districts and administers funding for new construction and building renewal projects. The agency reviews all submitted capital plans and decides how much to award districts in December. What happens between now and then is a waiting game. Once the state delivers its recommendations, the district will move forward with initial construction plans. Chief Operating Officer Amber Bordas said two or three more academic spaces are needed on the Chrisman High/Junior High campus to complete it. She noted that the School Facilities Division funding was recently utilized to finalize Eastmark High School's academic space and noted that the Chrisman projects still need funding approval. Queen Creek Unified owns five vacant parcels of land, all listed as potential elementary school sites. Bordas said the district hasn't selected any specific sites for the proposed new schools. She said the district's demography reports show that Queen Creek Unified will need the space in the next 4 years. The School Facilities Division is the only outside funding source for these construction projects, and it will only award money in December if a district shows that it will need the space within 2 years. We're leaning on those state allocations, Bordas said. So we need those approvals to be able to expand our facilities or to add elementary schools to support the growth that we see in the community. Right now, that is our only funding source to be able to provide that space that's required, which is why this application's important and why we're so grateful for the SFD, that they exist and that they look at each district annually to be able to see if the new space should be provided. Over the last 5 years, the district has gained over 5,000 students, bringing total enrollment for 2024-25 to 14,589. So far, this school year, enrollment has grown by nearly 500 students and is expected to continue rising. K-12 enrollment is expected to reach almost 17,500 students by 2034-35. That would be a 2,900 student, 20%, increase according to the capital plan. District officials are not surprised by the growth and have said many students are even coming from neighboring areas as more housing and infrastructure develops in Queen Creek. I think it's twofold, Bordas said. We're growing communities and there are more developments coming in. But ultimately, our teachers and our staff do a wonderful job in providing a great educational experience and families are choosing our district, which we're proud of. The new construction process will begin in the winter after the district receives SFD recommendations and awards. Regular updates will be given at governing board meetings throughout construction, as has been done for the past projects. End of story. Our next story is entitled Queen Creek Unified Elementary Schools Make PE Fun. This was posted in the Queen Creek Independent August 15, 2025, and no author is listed. At Queen Creek Unified School District Schools, physical education is an important part of the school day that combines movement, skill building, and confidence development. The program is designed to engage every student, encourage healthy habits, and make fitness something kids look forward to long after they leave the gym. All district students from kindergarten through sixth grade attend physical education classes twice a week for 30 minutes, engaging in lessons built around national and Arizona physical education standards. Faith Mather, Sossaman Elementary PE teachers Laura Cox and Kelly Sprung design lessons with a balance of warm-ups, fitness activities, skill practice, and games. Quote, we try to incorporate some kind of skill-based fitness each period, end quote, Sprung stated in a Queen Creek Unified School District press release. Quote, we'll practice a skill, then play a game that uses it, all while working on sportsmanship and proper movement, end quote. The program thrives on creativity. Instead of repetitive drills, activities are woven into games such as catapult, where students do sit-ups while tossing a ball to knock down targets. They also partner in exercises where kindergartners give each other a high five at the top of a sit-up. Quote, they're building strength, end quote, Sprung stated in the release. Quote, but they're not really thinking about it. They're just having fun, end quote. Cox and Sprung emphasize personal growth over competition. Students set goals and track their progress, celebrating even small gains. Quote, if I can get one more lap or one more push-up than last time, that's a win, end quote, Cox stated in the release. Progress is kept private, encouraging students to focus on self-improvement. Social aspect of PE is also intentional, whether it is a jump rope challenge with belt levels or group games that promote teamwork, students learn to support one another while developing physical skills. One of the joys of teaching is watching them grow, Cox stated. It's the excitement they bring when they've practiced over the weekend and can't wait to show you. Lessons are built around the, quote, meaningful PE, end quote, framework that includes fun, social interaction, the right level of challenge, and skill building. If they enjoy it, they're going to want to keep doing it, Cox stated. The PE team also partners with families to encourage healthy choices at home, recognizing that fitness habits are shaped in and outside the gym. End of story. Our next story is Queen Creek Unified opens new wings at high schools. This was posted in the Queen Creek Tribune, August 11, 2025. No author is listed. Chrisman and Eastmark High Schools recently marked the official opening of new academic wings. On August 13th, the Queen Creek Unified School District hosted ribbon-cutting ceremonies for the new wings at each school. 37,678 square feet of new space, including 23 classrooms and a new weight room, was unveiled. Principal Elise Torbert called the project, quote, both an end and a beginning, end quote, noting that while the completion represents the accumulation of years of planning, it also ushers in new opportunities for students. Quote, this wing is not just a collection of classrooms, it is a space where our educators will inspire, challenge, and support the next generation of learners, end quote, Torbert stated in a district press release. Eastmark High School celebrated the addition of 62,500 square feet featuring 22 classrooms, a dance room, choir room, band room, expanded main gym, new weight room, and wrestling room. Principal Chris Webb expressed gratitude for the community's support and partnerships that made the expansion possible. Quote, these spaces are essential for our students, providing the tools and opportunities they need to grow, create, and excel in the programs they love, end quote, Webb stated in the release. In both ceremonies, CUSD Superintendent Perry Berry emphasized that while the district is proud of its modern, state-of-the-art facilities, its true strength lies in its people, educators, families, and community partners. Quote, our district is special because of the people who occupy these facilities. We employ some of the finest educators in Arizona, end quote, Berry stated in the release. The projects are the result of a collaboration among QCUSD leadership, the governing board, Grace Design Studios, Orcutt Winslow, Core Construction, and the Arizona School Facilities Division. A QCUSD governing board president, Samantha Davis, reflected on the district's rapid growth, sharing that she has participated in more than a dozen ribbon cuttings in her tenure. We do not take these moments for granted. We are very grateful and blessed to have been able to grow and expand our district during these times of hypergrowth in our community, Davis stated. End of story. Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News for Santan and Queen Creek. I'm your volunteer reader, Leslie Hunt. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic, coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.